morning. Welcome to St. Andrew Lutheran Church, and if this is your first time here or your first time to church in a while, we're so thankful that you came to be here, and we hope you experience God's presence, and please know you are welcome to the table. A few announcements are before us today that I just want to share with you. If you haven't been baptized or confirmed, and that's something that you've been thinking about, maybe you didn't grow up in a faith tradition or didn't grow up Lutheran and you'd like to learn a bit more about being a Lutheran Christian, there is an incredible opportunity and it's coming up and it's free. It's through the lay school, and my dear sister in Christ, Wass's other pastor, Jen, is going to be leading it. And her contact information is in the bulletin. It's in that announcement, Exploring Faith Through the Small Catechism. I would also be really glad to talk to you if that's something that you desire for your life. Know that we'd be glad to have conversation and help you get connected to her. The Midwinter Retreat is coming up. It is one of my favorite St. Andrew events every single year. It's for kids who are in third through sixth grade, and we are out at Waypost on Mission Lake in a nice warm lodge with lots of fireplaces. We always have everybody bring slippers. We play in the snow. We play games. We have pizza usually. We just have a really good time. And then we have some kind of theme, and this year the theme is water walking, and we're going to be talking about Jesus walking on the water and Peter having faith. So what does it mean to be a person of faith? So we'd love to have as many kids as possible, and parents that would like to come along to chaperone, you are welcome to come as well. There's information online that you can find in the newsletter and also at the information desk. We have a youth summer trip meeting today at 10:45 this year. Those who are in 9th through 12th grade, or we're headed to Montana, which will be beautiful. We're going to visit a camp called Christicon that I went to when I was finished with my 10th grade year, and it was really a wonderful step in my journey of faith to be out in the mountains, to feel God's presence and to be connected to God through community and nature. We're going to see if some want to stay at the base camp. We might have that as an option. Otherwise, we'll probably be backpacking for those who are up for it. So if you'd like to learn more, please do come to the youth room at 10:45 after the service. Grab a cookie, grab some coffee. We can talk about that experience with Jenna. She's coordinating it this year. So whereas I've been a part of coordinating in the past, Mark Clark has been coordinating in the past, Jenna's really going to be the point person this year. So if you have any questions, she's the one to talk to. It is not a misprint. On January 7th, we are having ministry night meetings. Council decided to move ministry night a week forward because of the annual meeting and the timing of the month of January. So if your ministry is not able to meet on the 7th, you should be hearing from your ministry chairperson about when the alternate date is going to be. So check your email if you're part of a ministry team. And if you haven't heard from your chairperson, the 7th is when the meetings are being planned for this month. If you purchased a poinsettia in honor or in memory of someone, we would love for you to take that and share it, either bring it back home or share it with someone who might find it to be a blessing. We will have plenty extra, so if you just want one, please take one. Next week, they may be in the fellowship hall if they've lasted. And there are plastic bags up here that are hiding in this part of the garden, so you can take one with you as you head home today. This week we have two notes of sympathy. First, Laura Glassford passed away on Friday morning early. I don't have any plans for her services as of yet, but please do keep Laura's family in your prayers. Also, Barb Kinney passed away on Thursday morning, we remember her family in our prayers. You know her daughter, perhaps. Joy is our secretary here, and she's here today. We keep you, Joy, in our hearts, in our prayers. We know that this week might not always be what we expect it to be, so thank you for your patience with us as we do the best we can to support you and your family. We'll be thinking of you and praying for you. That service is going to be at noon on Friday with a visitation prior from 10 to noon. Today we have a foot in both Christmas and Epiphany, and I'll explain a little bit more about that in my sermon. But the Epiphany star that's above us is quite a gift. Somebody is very brave to put that up there every year. I'm always thankful that it's present, but we'll reflect a little bit on the light that God has for us today. Let's stand together and join in our confession and forgiveness, which is on page 94 in the front of the hymnal. We'll use the left-hand column. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin and receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We sing together our gathering song, number 303. Setting 4 begins on page 147 at the front of the hymnal. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. Let us pray. Everlasting God, the radiance of all faithful people, you brought the nations to the brightness of your rising. Fill the world with your glory and show yourself to all the world through him who is the true light, the bright and morning star, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd invite the children to come forward. So great to see all of you. We are actually going to look for Jesus. So I would love it if you would follow me, and as we go, I would love it if you could tell me if you find Jesus, okay? So follow me. You guys can hop right in. We're going to see if we can find Jesus. Look out here and see if you can find him. Do you see him anywhere? Bob, can you help us with this? We're gonna come through. Yeah, thank you. Can you find Jesus? Do you see him anywhere? No. All right, let's get everybody out here and see if we can find Jesus. We found Molly. Hi. Hi.
He's over there.
Oh, he's over here. Yeah. Okay, let's see if we can find Jesus. Got him? Okay, if you see him, step away so other kids can see him too. I think more people are coming. Let's see if we can find Jesus. Everybody can see him? All right. Check him out. Can everybody see him? Come on closer if you can't see him. Come on closer. You guys can all see him right here. Do you know who went looking for Jesus? There were some special characters in the Nativity that went looking for Jesus. And they were called the wise men. And so just like we went looking for Jesus today, the wise men went looking for Jesus. So we have three kings right here. One, two, and three. And what do you suppose they rode on to get to?
Camels.
Yep. Those camels, but there are only two in this nativity scene, so I wonder who shared. Maybe somebody shared. But when we look for Jesus...
No, there's one right there. It's
oh, yep. Oh, there's a donkey, too, yep. When we look for Jesus, do you think it's the same, like the wise men looking for him? Or is it a little different?
He's got two.
Yeah, it's a little different. We're gonna keep looking for Jesus, because I want to see if you can see Jesus on the rest of our journey, too, okay? So you guys can follow me as we... Look for Jesus. Let's see. So let's go this way and see if we can find him. Can find Jesus anywhere? Do you see Jesus anywhere? Oh, yep. You can let everybody who's coming after you see him. Right? He's right there. How about over here? Is Jesus sitting with any of you? I don't think so. All right, so the wise men stopped where the star was, so we're going to come back and stop where the star is, and you guys can have a seat with me here. That was a little different, kind of for a children's sermon. We'll wait for everyone to come back. So how many times did we find Jesus? We saw two pictures of Jesus, right? One was a baby in the manger in the crèche, and the other was where? That big picture at the back where he's praying, right? So we saw Jesus in two places, but there's another place, yeah.
I saw him under those plants somewhere?
Under the pine boughs, yeah. On the stations of the cross, we see Jesus at going to the cross. When he's at the end of his life. So we saw Jesus at the beginning of his life, and we see Jesus at the end of his life. But I think we saw Jesus in another place. Any guesses where?
Over there!
Over there! This is what's called the body of Christ. And you're a part of it. And so we see Jesus in each other. When we can't see God or feel God, we see Jesus in each other. And when we think of the way that God sees us, we know that God sees us with love, and we experience Jesus when we experience love through all these people. So let's see if Jesus will wave back at us. Oh, Jesus is waving! Can you guys wave to Jesus? All right. We're the body of Christ, and that's how it works. We find Jesus in each other. So just as the wise men find Jesus in the manger because of the star, we find Jesus here. And when we gather together in his place. So let's give thanks to God for finding Jesus. The Lord be with you. Thank you, God, for allowing us to see Christ in one another. We pray that Christ's presence might continue to grow and flourish in these, your children. And we ask that as they learn today, they might hear about you and your presence in this world. And how your presence makes every difference in our lives. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for going with me on the quest. We do have Sunday school today, so you can head to Sunday school or you can head back to your pew.
Reading from Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away. And your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, and the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Portions of Psalm 72 are appointed for us today, verses 1 to 7 and 10 to 14. We'll read responsibly by half verse, Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God.
And your righteousness to the king's son.
That he may rule your people righteously.
And the poor with justice.
That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people.
And the hills with righteousness.
Let him defend the needy among the people.
Rescue the poor and crush the oppressor.
May he live as long as the sun and moon endure. Let him come down like rain upon the mown field.
Like showers.
In his time may the righteous flourish.
And let there be among us a peace, till the moon shall be
more. May the kings of Tarshish and the isles pay tribute.
And kings of Sheba and Sheba.
May all kings bow down before him. For the king delivers the poor who cry out in distress.
He oppresses those who have no other.
He has compassion on the lowly and the poor.
And the
from oppression and violence, he redeems their lives.
A reading from Ephesians. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind. And as it is now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety may now be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is this child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his rising, his star at its rising, and have come to pay homage to him." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd of my people.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. The day after Christmas, I was still a little bit hazy from all the excitement around here, so I was quite happy that my mom had convinced me to take most of the day off. We had the chance to share the gospel with over 1,300 people on Christmas, between Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. It was incredible, so thank you to the many of you who did things like bake communion bread or provide hospitality through ushering, or just by your presence here. It was a gift to be together and to hear that gospel message from Luke. My parents were in town, and I was grateful to have them for the first time in 8 years to be with them at Christmas time. Mom made Christmas dinner for me and some friends. And as I was preparing to come into church for a few hours on the 26th, I did what I often do before work, which was I had a cup of coffee and I sat and scrolled through the news and checked Facebook. I don't know if that's part of your tradition at all, or just to sit and have a moment as you begin your day, but that's what I was doing. And I found a news story that should have just been an absolutely non-issue. It should have just been a blip. But for some reason, there was all of this angst and frustration that started boiling in me, and I was getting angry. And the headline was this: "What to do with your Christmas tree now that Christmas is over?" That shouldn't have made me that mad. "What to do with your Christmas tree now that Christmas is over" is not an offensive headline by any means. But I was pretty upset. And now, just a PSA, it's never a good idea to post in the comments of a news story on social media. Ever. Just know that now, trust me. No good comes from writing in the comments section on a news story. So I resisted, but if I would have written something, I would have said in all caps, "Christmas isn't over! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Christmas isn't over." And today it still isn't over. Today is the 12th day of Christmas, like the song implies. It's nearly a two-week season. Some of my notes actually suggest having a Christmas pageant on the last day of Christmas before Epiphany. Well, you can imagine how good that would go over with everyone. So it would seem that the culture and the calendar have us moved forward beyond Christmas. I was even at the store the other day and I saw all the Valentine's candy is out and ready to go. We're just a couple of days into 2020, which is just weird that we are in the 20s. The snow and the cold has us firmly planted in the feeling of winter. And this last week, the kids went back to school, and we're all trying to eat things that don't contain sugar for just a little while. While the world has moved on from the celebration of the incarnation, the church hasn't yet. You walk into our sanctuary today, it feels a little bit like a snow globe. The Christmas trees are still up, the poinsettias are still here, the lights are still on the trees. And I like that. Because we still need to celebrate Christmas and all it means for us. We need a little time to settle into the good stuff, the meat and potatoes of the story. Long after the sentimentality wears off and the hard work of putting together beloved traditions has come and gone, there's still this story that continues, and this time in Matthew's gospel. And yet, in my planning, I couldn't decide today between the second Sunday of Christmas and Epiphany. And there was something in me that was pulling us forward to tomorrow, which is the day of Epiphany, often celebrated quite well in other parts of the world, but here maybe it's a little bit more of an understated celebration. The Epiphany is all about celebrating God's presence, God's manifestation in various ways. And so while Christmas is about Emmanuel, God dwelling with us in human skin, in the incarnation, who from birth to death would experience solidarity with the human experience, taking on our burdens, and that his presence would be the solidarity that we would long for with God, Epiphany is about something similar but different. Epiphany is about the wise men, unspecified in number, although most nativity sets say that there are three, one representing each gift given, the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. And Epiphany takes us from the celebration of the incarnation and spreads the same concept but deepens it. God's presence made manifest in many other ways that God has known, in the gift of baptism, in the miracle of water turned to wine, and in light. Light that permeates darkness. Light that is so powerful that it cannot be overcome by anything. The light of Christ that is with us always, to and through the end. Of this Epiphany star, there are a few things I'd like to ponder with you today. First, the wise men had been watching for the star at its rising. Listen to that word again. At its rising. All the way at the beginning of Matthew, in the Nativity story, we have resurrection language. The star, the light, is rising. They had noticed it, and they'd been watching it from the beginning. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that the word stopped was emphasized as it described the star multiple times. So ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw where the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And then following their experience of the Christ child, the wise men are warned in a dream to go home by an alternate road. So of this Epiphany star and the story of these wise men, there are a few things that I think it can mean for us today. First, with the wise men, to be about the work of seeing the Christ child. And just like the kids were literally looking for the Christ child, for pictures of Jesus, it's not that easy. But we do know that Jesus is where he promises to be. And one place he promises to be is where two or three are gathered. Two or three, or in this case, several, are gathered. Sometimes I think it is the closest two or three people in our lives that have the ability to speak on behalf of God the most, which is both burden and blessing, because sometimes we get it wrong. And sometimes the ones who are closest to us are the ones that we maybe hurt the most. But also the ones who are closest to us oftentimes have the capacity to bear the Christ child to us through the word made flesh. That word of challenge, when you know things can be better and you can go about the route of tough love, that word of comfort, through the question, simple question, how was your day? And the conversation that you can have at the end of the night. Oftentimes, a Christ is revealed to us where two or three are gathered, and it's not just here at church. Sometimes it's the closest two or three colleagues that we have in our workforce, the closest two or three friends that we make sure to meet with on a regular basis, the ones that we know time can elapse and we can still connect and hear a word of life-giving good news from them. Jesus promises to be there. Jesus also promises to be in the least of these. In Matthew 25, we hear a litany of where Jesus shows up. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick and in prison, you visited me. As we do unto the least of these, we do to Christ. Christ is where he promises to be, where two or three are gathered, but also in the least of these. So we have a chance to make a difference in this world, and it's something that we can do in big ways and in little ways. But there are often tangible ways that we can be a part of making this difference through the work of St. Andrew. I'm continually inspired by those of you who volunteer at the Warming Center. I'm continually inspired by those who aren't in this room right now teaching Sunday school. And I'm continually inspired by the way that we walk with each other through life at its highs and its lows. Christ promises to be in the least of these. And then finally, Christ promises to be in the bread and wine. We gather around the sacraments weekly, and sometimes when you gather around the sacraments weekly, it seems like maybe they lose their little bit of oomph, as though maybe when I was little, we had it once or twice a month, and it was something we would look forward to was Communion Sunday. But we have it every time we gather because Christ promises to be in that bread and wine. So with the wise men, we seek where Christ has stopped and promises to be, and we receive that today. And secondly, we give witness to his rising and resurrected life. So what does that mean? As the star rose, the wise men followed it until it stopped. And sometimes faith becomes that same journey where we're looking for the place or the thing where God has revealed our purpose and our role in life. It was occurring to me this week as I had the opportunity to walk with several people through different aspects of life that our resurrected life begins much sooner than we all believe. That our resurrected life begins in baptism. And so we all have a chance to offer for someone else a star at its rising. And the resurrection that's happening inside of us. It's this resurrection that sustains us and stirs us because we know that we have hope. We're not without hope that God has taken care of the things that are most threatening and scary for us. And that this leads us to my final point, which is that the wise men trusted their dream. They trusted that warning and a dream to not return to Herod, who is seeking the death of the Christ child. What does it look like for us to trust the presence of Christ, even in our own hearts and guts and our own dreams? Where God speaks to us sometimes the most intimately is in the quiet moments right before bed, or when we're driving in the car, and we know clearly what it is that we are being called to do. Like the wise men who return home by a different road, a road that they've never gone on, sometimes where God calls us is not where we would expect. But certainly Christ is where he promises to be, where two or three are gathered, in the least of these, in the bread and wine. And finally, when Jesus says in the Great Commission, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Thanks be to God. Amen. Nicene Creed. It's printed for us on page 104. With the whole church, let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Gathered with all who seek the Christ child, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Holy God, you make your presence known to the earth, to the church, and every land. Give us a desire and will to support the diverse work of the church throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy. Generous Creator, in you all things came into being, and without you not one thing exists. We praise you for the snow and the rain that water the earth. Move us to care for the well-being of the work of your hands. Lord, in your mercy. Savior of the nations, you gather in your care people of every age and ability from lands near and far. Inspire the leaders of nations to work for peace within their countries and in all the world. Lord, in your mercy. Saving God, provide for your people who begin this new year in any need. Grant shelter to those who are homeless, comfort to all who are lonely, and a strong sense of your presence to those who are sick, especially those on our prayer list, and those we name in our hearts and on our lips. Lord, in your mercy. Giving thanks for the gift of baptism, we lift up those preparing for this gift as well as those recently baptized. Especially we pray for Everly May, Delaney Rose, and Haley May. Gracious One, your light shines in the darkness and it is not overcome. We thank you for the witnesses who have testified to your light. May their lives continue to inspire us. Lord, in your mercy. Into your gracious hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your steadfast mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share Christ's peace with one another. Let us pray. Generous God, you have given us life, this community, and these gifts of the earth that become the meal of your grace. Move in our hearts that we might use your gifts to bring hope and blessing wherever we go, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is Christ's table. All are welcome. You may be seated. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you always in his grace. Let us pray. Emmanuel, God with us, you grace us with life and breath and give us bread for the journey. Send us out in service to this world that you love, telling the amazing news of your coming to be Savior and Lord of all. In Jesus' name we pray. Grace from God's own heart, peace from the child in the manger, and strength from the Spirit of life be blessings for you today and forever. Amen. We sing our sending song, number 302. Lord. Thanks be to God.